The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, managing partner of the Oakmont Group. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Kevin Orr, Vice President at a company called BMC Software. Kevin, how are you?
Doing great, John. Thank you very much. Appreciate the invite.
You know, I was at a trade show. I go to trade shows all the time, you know, and I'm stumbling through a trade show, and there's this guy named Kevin Orr at the booth there, and I go up to him, and I say, well, tell me about BMC, and I go back and forth and back and forth, and I thought, he's kind of a well-known vendor in the area, but people may not know where they would fit in with their agency. And so what I try to do is bring in different folks here and there and talk about different topics. And bring. Last week I had a congressman. We did a half hour with a congressman about the Modernizing Government Act and back and forth through encryption and startups. And so this is kind of a well-known vendor, BMC. I think everyone out there knows what you're all about. And they may go to a trade show and walk by a booth and go, what's that guy doing? How can they help me? And that's what I wanted you to bring in here. And once you show, my typical listeners, a federal IT professional, they got all kinds of headaches and trying to get some solutions. And I thought BMC might be able to provide some hope, maybe toss them a bone. But before we begin, Kevin, tell us about your background, please.
Sure, John. So been in the federal IT arena for about 25 years. I left Seattle as a mechanical engineer with emphasis in computer graphics. I've spent a decade at Cisco through the dot-com era, which is a lot of fun. And then I jumped into the software environment. Love a great challenge. Love the Washington, D.C. area.
M.E., mechanical engineer, huh? Wow. Good to have a neighbor who's a mechanical engineer is what I say. Hey, take a look at this. What do you think? Yeah, I have a friend out there who's an architect. Good friend to have an architect as well. Well, tell us about BMC and what kind of problems do you solve for my listeners?
Sure. So BMC, 37 years, believe it or not, older than Microsoft. So we've been around a long time doing some really great things. We focus on automation. Really, the biggest focus for us is digital enterprise management. How do we take customers digital? You know, and the new tagline out there is go digital or go extinct. If you take a look at what's happening in the last few years, you know, we've really, the digital economy has changed whole industries. In fact, recently talked to a group of CEOs, and it was very interesting. They believe the next 3 years navigating their business is going to be far harder than the last 20 years. And that they also believe in the Fortune 500, that's the S&P 500, that by the year 2027, 75% of those companies may not be on there due to this revolution. So there's really a lot of churn going on. We thought dot-com was big. I really see the cloud environment and the hyper-cloud. How do you manage the complexities with the clouds? How do you automate, streamline, and how do you take people out of the equation? That's really where we're focused on.
Yeah. Driving, compliance, automation. I went to your Twitter feed, at BMC Software, and I got my little pen out and wrote down some hashtags. And this is going to be the framework for the conversation because this is how we do it now, you know. Hashtag multi-cloud, hashtag mainframe, and here's one, hashtag our customers matter. So those are pretty good hashtags to start off with. So, you know, is it public cloud, private cloud, hybrid cloud, multi-cloud? What is going on in the cloud? I've read stories about people moving back from the cloud. So what's a multi-cloud and where does BMC fit in?
It's really interesting. So we've all been used to growing up either in the mainframe world or in the data center. And those two environments are changing rapidly. We're always going to have mainframes out there with high transactions. But we're looking at an era where we're moving into clouds, multi-clouds, data centers, and we're doing on-premise. So cloud is really a generic word for a lot of different things. It's where your processing is and where you choose to put your processing. I think in the future, work's going to follow you. So it's a really interesting environment. And the real question is, how do you manage your data, right? You've got bad people trying to get to your data. 90% of the world's data has been created in the last 2 years. So how do I get to it? How do I mine it? How do I protect it? That's the biggest asset. And when you're putting things in multiple clouds, do you have a 360-degree view, pane of glass, that shows you where all your data is, how you protect it, what your compliance posture is? How do you automate that data? And that's really the focus that we're working for with our customers, both commercially and in the federal market.
So digital transformation, there's another hashtag again in your Twitter feed, digital transformation, going from an older system maybe to a newer system, maybe going from a newer system to the cloud, or segments of that environment moving to the cloud. And I want to talk about environments. I worked with a guy named Byron Snow once. And he went to UVA and studied environmental science, and couldn't find a job. Mm-hmm. But he loved environmental science. And so he was at a party, and someone said, well, come work with me, and you learn coding. And so he got there, figured out the coding, and then this cloud came around, and guess what skill set you need in the cloud? Environmental science, because one system depends on another system, depends on another system, and there's interoperability concerns, and there's all kinds of links and connections. And he was great at it. Anyway, mm-hmm. the best CTO I've ever found, because he didn't start off with coding. He started off with environments. And so this is what we're looking at now, different environments, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. And that's really what the digital transformation is about. It's really not about moving your data centers back and forth. It's really, how do you transform your mission? How do you transform your business doing something different? Take a look at what Uber has done, right? It's changed the transportation industry. And those are the things that we're seeing right now. So you need to be very, very agile on how you move and how you work through your environments.
There's one thing that I've learned kind of in a difficult manner is that this whole thing of environments, if you have an Oracle database and you move to the Oracle Cloud, that can be one type of a transition. Moving it to an Amazon Cloud could be different completely. Moving to a Microsoft Cloud could be different completely. I mean, this little cloud, it's not a switch. There's a transition. We have to look at so many different things. I think that's where this whole idea of DevOps comes in and getting different people involved. I can understand why your initial statement about the complexity in the next 3 years is going to be there, because this is a complex change. It sounds pretty simple. Hey, just dump it all on Amazon. Well, that's not that simple, is it?
No, it definitely isn't. You're going to have different applications hosted different locations, right? Your data is going to be dispersed in the future. And I think if you look in the government pieces, we're starting to see where folks like Federal Reserve Bank, Department of Interior, and USDA are all providing cloud services or managed services to their clients and constituents. Some of them are internal. Some of them are hosted with multiple clients, which then brings up, the orchestration of data, the protection of data. Cybersecurity, bad things are coming at us every single day with that, with unknown characters. And how do we protect our data?
So what BMC software can do, it seems to me, is that they can walk into a situation and take a look at an environment and say, well, what's your goal? My goal is to move this to there. Well, you have to look at another environment and say, well, these are three things that you might want to consider in order to do this. It's getting so complex now. I mean, I've talked to, sitting next to a bunch of people from the GSA, and they started talking about moving some things to, let's say, AWS, and getting sticker shock. And going, well, we didn't expect that X, Y, and Z was going to happen, and it happened, and they're gone. The money's gone. And so this is a challenge here. How can you can't know what you don't know? How do you foresee that?
So there's a couple things that we've done. One, we've come up with a discovery product that does multiple clouds. So you can identify all of your assets between your own premise-based solution or the multiple clouds out there, right? You can identify what your infrastructure is, what your security posture is, what your compliance is out there. The other piece we came out in conjunction with it was our TrueSight cost control. Very, very interesting right now, because just as you mentioned, John, customers want to know what it's going to cost me to go to the cloud. What's the most cost-effective place to put my workload? What kind of workload should be located where? How do I understand what my monthly payments are? We've just recently caught up with two of our customers. The first one had a $4 million a month bill from one of the big providers.
Think about that one.
The one that got the guy fired, though, is the most interesting one. He came home with a $31 million monthly bill.
Monthly, huh?
Monthly. So you can kind of see, workloads are changing and shifting. And if you're not in charge of them, you're not in control of your destiny. Your destiny will control you.
And I think this is, kind of a touchy subject here, but there's some representations that are made that may not be completely accurate as far as changing systems. How's that for not getting thrown off the air? and so many people may be induced to move from point A to point B and not realize that it may be more expensive to get your data out of that point B than it was to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
representations are very carefully made here.
Right. And I would also, I would look at it a little further. It's interesting. I did have a chance to talk to one of the big cloud providers, and I asked him some really interesting questions, spent 15 hours with him. And the question I ask is, you dropped your prices 6 times last year. Why is that? Is it because there's heavy competition out there? And the answer was really clear. It was no. I'm getting economies of scale. I'm going to pass that on to my customers. And at the end of the day, next year, if I do the same thing, I'll have an infrastructure cost that it's easier to rent from me than it is to buy infrastructure, because you won't be able to sell infrastructure or put your infrastructure together for the price I'm going to be able to provide it for. So the economies of scale are going to drive things. The economics and the availability are really going to drive things in the future.
Economics, availability, changes in the next 3 years, all topics we'll cover here after we take a break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio of Kevin Orr, Vice President at BMC Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today is Kevin Orr, Vice President at BMC Software. Kevin lives in a rural area outside of Washington, D.C., and one of his neighbors is a guy named David Linthicum. David Linthicum has written 13 books. He's like my hero. He's way smart guy. Waits for InfoWorld, and we've had David in the studio here. And he talks about different things. He talks about ROI in the cloud and saying, well, you know, just cloud's great, and we love the cloud, like the transition, but you know, you may want to take and look at what the ROI is going to be here for 3 or 4 years down the road. And many government customers may not have the luxury of looking 5 years down the road because things may change, they may get budgeted, pushed back and everything. So what about the ROI in moving? What about the ROI in these systems? It has to be in the top two or three things, I would think, to consider.
Yeah, I would look at it and say mission first, right? What do you want to accomplish long term, right? What data is disposable? Data has a time life. Right. So we take a look at what is the mission critical applications you have. Where do you want to put things together? And then the real question comes through is, do you have the core companies on site? I think that's really what you're seeing with cloud, which is, can I migrate fast enough with a cloud? Do I have the competence inside my old organization to work with it? Or do I need to outsource it and do something slightly different? So I think all of those equations come into the fact on what you're going to do. Do you need to get that data back? Are you just storing it, or do you have to do something with it? What are you going to do with data mining for the future? Plays big into the cloud world of, I want to mine more data to make more intelligent decisions, get my mission done quicker.
Last week, I jumped on the Metro, got up at Capitol South, and went to the Cannon Building and recorded an interview with a guy named Will Hurd. And he is a big proponent of modernizing government. And we go back and forth and back and forth. And he said, wow, how come every 2 years people discover data centers that they didn't know they had? Well, I mean, this is just pops up. Is it like tribbles or something? And so the same thing can happen on systems. I want to talk about your discovery. I mean, there must be a lot of stuff on systems that people don't know they're running. So you sign up for a service. It sits out there and you don't even know you have it. And all of a sudden, new CEO comes in and says, what do you have? And you go, I don't know what I have. They need something just to discover what's there.
You're right, John. Good point. You know, how do you manage what you don't know you own?
Yeah.
Right? That's the biggest thing. Right? So we've come up with a solution here for discovery that basically will go and crawl through your infrastructure, not only your own infrastructure, but it actually goes through the cloud gateways. So now I can take a look and I can find everything. I can actually tell you what you own. I can tell you what's on what you own today, what your revisions are on your software and your whole your whole environment. What I find really interesting is there's a lot of solutions out in the market. Most of them, though, I have to put an agent on my device. If I already know the device, what sense does that make me to go?
You can't discover it, huh?
Yeah. I can't discover it. I've already discovered it, right? Really what you're looking for is I want to go find that one Windows 7 that's still alive someplace back in a corner that I had no idea. In fact, we had one particular client that came through. They basically did their discovery and found out they had a data center that was walled in behind a wall. Right? A few servers walled in behind it. Right?
I tell
running.
People these stories. No one believes it. And Kevin, I don't know if I believe it, but I've seen that, so I have to believe it. I saw there was a law firm in downtown D.C. It was years ago. It was a Windows 2000 server that they walled in.
Right. And so nobody's updating it, right? What's it doing out there? You know, who's it calling? Is it calling home? I know other people will be calling it.
Well, you know, I've been around so long, you know, I think if I was in college, you told me that story, I'd go, oh, that Kevin Orr, I don't believe anything. Now, yeah,
that's what we see happen.
Happens in half the buildings on Wisconsin Avenue might have somewhere behind it because things just happen. Human beings, it doesn't make any sense. So I was at a cybersecurity event 2 days ago, It was in Tyson's Corner, and it was cybersecurity for satellites, CyberSat. Mm-hmm. And they had a great panel there, the guy from the FBI, they had a guy from a law firm, and they had a woman there. And the FBI, the FBI guy was so great. He said, cyber is not a tool, cyber is a domain. Oh, there's a perspective on it, isn't it? And so let's apply this little cyber is a domain to our problem here of making transitions, moving to a multi-cloud environment, digital transformation. But you better be secure there, Kevin. And so this domain thing, this is one of the challenges in the next 3 years. It's like in the morning, you got to move to the cloud. In the afternoon, you got to lock everything up. So it's push and pull.
Yeah. I love the quote from the FBI director. And his quote was pretty simple. You know, there's two types of businesses, those that have been hacked and those that don't know they've been hacked.
That's, you assume it's there, yeah.
Right. So, you know, the challenge here is we build a perimeter and a firewall and we try to lock down our organization, right? Well, our world's changed. The target's changed. What we've got to do is get more agile on how we protect our security and our operations. I think one of the big things that we find with our customers is everybody has the best of intentions. You know, we know the bad things are coming at it. 80% of the known vulnerabilities that people are going through are known vulnerabilities. And you know how the average time to patch those are with our customers? It's about 193 days.
I read that study yesterday and I said to myself, no way. And I think this is in the commercial world too, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
This isn't, you know, a lot of the I sit next to govies and they say, well, we're behind. No. Hey, Equifax wasn't a federal agency. Equifax was a commercial people and they got killed. And so it happens.
It does. It happens on a daily basis.
And it's probably a patching problem with Equifax, if I remember.
Yes. And it's only going to get worse as you do multiple clouds. Because you have the same security posture in every one of your clouds, right? That's definitely where we help out people every day. We tie both the security and the operations team together. Understand the vulnerabilities that are coming in, kind of quickly triage which ones are known, which ones can we close, what is the priority system, and then how do I automate it? How do I automate the patching so I can take the 193 days down to 15 minutes?
Go and automate that too. That would be without a human being involved. Yeah.
We're going to get more and more data, so we've got to automate our future, right? Throwing more people at the equation isn't going to happen. It just is not going to scale for us in the future.
Been doing the show for 11 years. 10 years ago, I had a woman by the name of Aileen Black in here, and she was talking about this silly product called VMware. And she had a Prius and a bumper sticker, and I love VMware. It was on the bumper sticker, and I got her in there and said, hey, I saw one of the people, and she said, it was my car. And wow. And it was new. Now, people talking about VMware is kind of a traditional environment like VMware moving to a hypervisor. It's changed to this type of a transition from, well, people assume a virtual environment and making a hypervisor decision on what kind and what flavor and where. A lot of dependencies, a lot of issues just involved in that, aren't there?
Yes, there are. So if you take a look at the world's changing fast, right? You've got lots of competition in the market right now. And I think what you're seeing is you've got different companies lining up with different platforms and what we're going to support. And that's, you know, consumers are now going to have to make a choice over which direction they go through. I think we've taken an approach rather than take a look at a platform. We've really taken a look at how do I orchestrate things? How do I become the connected glue tissue regardless to make it easy to move from a hypervisor A to hypervisor B, right, with your infrastructure? I mean, virtualization is one of the best things that's happened to the market in the last few years, right? Data center consolidation was all about virtualization. And virtualization, I see that just continue. I see the same thing coming through networks, right? It's not just storage anymore. It's through networks. It's pervasive on everything that we do out there. So in one sense, it's provided, you know, some great opportunity to scale. On the other hand, it's a big opportunity to secure the environments as well because those environments are everywhere now. You don't know exactly what application is on what server today. It can be anywhere. It can be in the cloud.
You know, a word that I like to toss around is this concept of elasticity. And it sure means a bunch of different people, but I think this is just something that you have to embrace and understand because that whole idea of putting something somewhere and having it dynamically allocate resources, this whole idea, it sounds really good, but managing an elastic environment, it's a skill set that you may not have learned as an undergraduate. It's a new skill set that you can only learn by, I think, messing up or horror stories.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that are coming that direction. If you look at performance and analytics, right? How do I get that 360 pane of glass that says what's going on with my environment? And then more importantly, how do I have the machine automation, basically machine-to-machine learning, right, that's going to catch that a lot quicker? I've seen this pattern multiple times before. I know how to interact and react to that pattern.
the elastic pattern that 10 years ago no one thought of, but here you have to balance a lot of elasticity with demand, and especially my agencies. I mean, what happens at Katrina? All of a sudden, big spike. What happens to any agency when there's an emergency? Big spike. Elections, big spike. So whatever agency you pick and choose, there could be spikes in what's happened, what doesn't happen. And I think that's it throws in so many things, and releasing data to the public and masking that data. And all of a sudden, well, boy, that's why it's going to be so hard the next 3 years, I guess. Huh?
I think a good example, our census customer, right? Census 2020 is coming at us. It's a great opportunity to scale up, scale down. The other piece that we're seeing is mobility, right? Mobility plays into everything. Every device is a computer these days.
Yeah, I think that's the last thing I read was that the census is going to be done on mobile phones.
Correct.
Smartphones, that's too much. So let's take a break, come back, talk more about, I want to talk about containers and the whole role of containers and maybe this concept of backup and systems backup and more difficult environments for my listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today is Kevin Orr, Vice President at BMC Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Kevin Orr, O-R-R, is in the studio today. He's a vice president at BMC Software. And I think most of my listeners here have maybe seen BMC at a trade show or heard about it or talked about it. So they can help you with all kinds of different issues involving moving systems in, moving systems out. We've talked about many things. I want to maybe talk about security, but before security, BMC.com, company been around many, many years. I went to their website this morning. So much stuff. I started taking notes, and I said, I'll just ask Kevin. So what are the two or three things? So if you're in Chick-fil-A and talking to a friend, and they say, hey, Kevin, what's the three things that BMC Software does? What would you say?
You know, really interesting. There's really actually four pillars. Our investors came through, and they looked at it, and I think this decade is going to go down as the decade of capital equity. You know, you've seen a lot of changes. But what happened with our investors is they came in and said, you know, you have some great products. Here's what I would do. I'd push them into certain categories and continue to invest. So let me walk through what we do. Digital service management. Most people understand Remedy. You've heard Remedy and how I bring, you know, how do I bring people and processes together to solve common issues? The second piece that I'm looking at here is performance and analytics. What is my 360 degree dashboard view of my entire environment? Not just what I own, but what's in the cloud, what's in the premises. The other piece that we're looking in that we have a heavy focus in is digital business automation, workload management, scheduling. If you think about this, think about just payroll. Think about the U.S. Postal payroll. It's only second behind Walmart. How do you get all those transactions scheduled so that you get your pay on Friday, right? And then the last area, which is probably the growing of importance of everybody here in the federal environment, is security operations, right? How do I protect? How do I tie security and operations in the back end to have them connect and work together in a seamless manner. So really, that's kind of the portfolio that we're really focusing on a day-to-day basis for our folks.
Let's go back to the Cyber Satellite Conference and the FBI guy. You know, he talked about cyber as a domain. And there was a panel discussion. And I was taking copious notes. And there was a person there. And there's a woman from a company, investment company. And she said, hey, you know, they're here. So what you have to focus in on is resiliency. So we know bad guys inside your network. And so resiliency and backup and, you know, archiving sites and disaster recovery. And this is like the most boring old fashioned topic in the history of the world. No one wants to sit down and talk about disaster recovery. They want to talk about IoT and drones, but this is the meat and potatoes. I think what BMC's got to ask their clients.
It really is. And it really comes down to what's the compliance and posture at the end of the day, right? I've got to have two data centers or at least a backup for my data so that I can get to it. But how do I know exactly, is it secure? Is it identical? Are the two sites having the same type of information back and forth? How do I know they're up and running? We actually had one client, you'll love this, John, that we're talking to them and our engineers go on site and realize that they failed over and they're running on their backup without even knowing it.
Oh, I think that's it is a boring, it's like, you know, we went to the lawyer 2 years ago and we did the will again, sat down and all this, and it was uncomfortable. I didn't want to do it, but you know what? I have to be responsible. I have to update that probably every 2 or 3 years. And so this is like, if you're listening to this and you're responsible for managing a system, you know, You got to pick out a day, whether you like it or not. It's not someday, because someday's not a day of the week. You got to pick out a day and sit down and say, okay, let's take a look and review our backups and see what the policy is and what's going on, what isn't going on. And maybe a company like BMC has a tool that will let you know what's going on. And maybe that's a tool they use to figure out. I would have never assumed that.
Yeah, I think, John, one of the interesting things for us is, and it's not the most sexy thing, but it's compliance, right? How do I do auditing, right? Across the government, audit is a huge piece, right? You've got mandatory audits that are coming through. How do you, simplify your audit process? Do you have an automated process against your compliancy, right? So that you can look at it and go, I know I'm going to pass my audit. I know I'm compliant. And I don't have to wait and do this thing once a month, once a quarter, right? This should be a daily piece so that I'm seeing actively, how am I doing against my STIGs? Am I up to speed? Is my posture correct? Right? Am I in compliance or out of compliance? What alerts me and tells me exactly where I'm at? Right? That's really, one of the areas that we can help a lot of customers out here. It's, it's that automation process and taking people out of the equation.
I went to your LinkedIn profile. Then I went to the LinkedIn description, your company page on LinkedIn, and it talked about all kinds of fancy pants acronyms like BSM and CMDB, ITI. It's like an ITSM CEO dashboard. Then it said data center automation. I said, bingo. Data center automation. So you can automate your backups. So, if a bad actor starts doing bad things on Sunday night and your technicians are coming in Monday morning, they better have more than just an alert in their phone to come into work early. They better know what's going on from there. And I think that's what the automation is all about. It ties in right with CEO dashboards.
Yeah, definitely. For us, it's a lot of server automation, right? How do I basically make sure that all of my racks of servers are compliant? How do I know exactly what's running on each one of those? How do I know that they all have the current patch, right? How do I know where I'm going to have something that's going to come out and cause me some grief? Right? Those are the pieces of the instrumentation when I talk about. I can't say that enough. But what is the 360 dashboard when I get up in the morning and know how's my infrastructure doing? What's the how? How's it going to alert me and tell me exactly what's going to happen, right? Meantime between failures, how do I predict those things? As I get into more and more machine learning, those things are going to come to us, at a much quicker pace.
When it comes to security, one approach is the one we talked about where, have to be resilient and expect to get attacked and bounce back to your disaster recovery plan when you get hit. Equifax. I didn't say that word. But what about a proactive stance? I mean, when boxing, you learn to defend yourself. That's the first thing you learn.
Right.
And that you got to learn that first. Right. Mm-hmm. But then you may want to get sick and tired of that. It's a proverbial two birds that were sick of standing. Let's go kill something. It's like, so you have to maybe move a little bit more proactive.
Well, so I would look at it this way. One, there's government STIGs across the board that says this is what the security posture of my infrastructure should look like, right? So that's really kind of the building block from there. How do I make sure that compliance is pushed out across my entire infrastructure, not just my premise, but my cloud, right? I'm dealing with multiple agencies with multiple clouds. How do I know that posture is the same everywhere I go, right? How do I know that those constant updates are pushed? How do I know that they're automatically patched? How do I know the status of my infrastructure, right? How can I go in and quickly audit myself and says, did we get this right? Did I get all the STIGs? Is my posture correct for the future, right? And that's really the basic building blocks that we're really focusing with people. As I mentioned, it's not the most sexy thing, but it's the thing that's going to eat your lunch at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Tools. You have a discovery tool. When it comes to tools, there's all kinds of surveys out there. You've read them. I've read them. The Government Business Council says that 41% of senior employees at major agencies say they are somewhat dissatisfied with their agency's IT tools. And so, in other words, where Kevin Orr, master auto mechanic, he reaches in, doesn't have a 9/16 wrench, or he doesn't have a who knows what, ball peen hammer. And so these tools are important. And one tool, I think, is discovery tool. Maybe there's a tool that can test up your backup system or something. What other tools do you folks offer?
So there's a lot of different tools out there for scheduling, automating of scheduling, right? DevOps, a big concept right now. And the concept of DevOps is the fact that I'm using different processes in the development stage. And when I'm done with my product, my app, I hand it over to operations and I said, it's your turn to manage it and monitor it. Meantime, the developer's gone from the agency, and all of a sudden, I've got lots of problems with my app. How am I going to update it? What's happening? So we're really taking an approach of how do I containerize the process? And how do I put some rules to the road so I can use the best of the development tools you're used to, but I can get the operations people involved way upstream before it happens? You know, another tool that's a very interesting is managed file transfer. You think about that, the government probably moves more money than anybody else. Files, money, transaction. How do I know I'm doing that securely? Right? How do I automate that whole process and do the backtracking of all of that and integrate it into multiple environments? So there's some really interesting proactive tools that we've got on the market right now that can really help some people. We're doing some great things with a couple of different agencies right now that I think are seeing some really good benefit.
Well, let's take a break, talk more about that. I want to talk about open source, and I want to review some of these hashtags as far as Red Hat goes and open source, open government, and some concepts here that may upset the apple cart if your first priority is security. Maybe not. We'll see. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Kevin Orr, Vice President at BMC Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Kevin Orr, O-R-R. He's a Vice President at BMC Software. We've been talking about all kinds of transition and changes, and BMC can do this and help you with that. We talked about, I think the only thing we didn't talk about is containers, and that's a whole separate topic. We're not getting into that at all. This is the part of the show where I get out the crystal ball and say, okay, Kevin, we're going to put this in granite in 5 years if this isn't exactly what's going to happen. I mean, we started the show with people saying, we have no idea what's going to happen in the next 3 years. I mean, they just don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 years. So what's this transition going to take place? Do you think people are going to move back from the cloud, maybe a hybrid cloud? Are they going to figure out this whole temptation of moving to the cloud and not getting caught? So where are we going to sit here in 5 years, Kevin?
It's going to be really interesting, right? I think the change is coming at us faster than we can imagine. I think you're going to see, you know, everything is a service. You know, the cloud is going to become everything out there. I don't think you're just going to stop at applications.
There's a company called Measure in D.C., and they have drone as a service, DaaS.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to look at it. It's the environment in the IT is getting very complex. It's very agile, and it's time to market, right? It's time to market to get something out there. And the quickest way to do that is buy a utility. You know, you wouldn't go build a power company. Right, you basically go through and says, "I need a utility and I need a monthly." And my, you know, I'm not going to always be in this house, so I'm going to rent it while I'm here, and I'm going to move someplace else. Turn my utility on and off. And I think you're going to see more and more of that coming through. I think the days of owning your own infrastructure are going to disappear. I really do believe that we're going to see a whole different change. We're seeing that in the software. I mean, people used to buy and own their own licenses. I see that moving very, very rapidly.
Well, Kevin, I'm an old guy. I can remember going to Micro Center and buying a box. This sounds so funny. A box of software, installing in my machine. And I have a little shelf with, these things, Microsoft Publisher, this, and this. And that's what I own. It's on my computer. And my kids are just, Dad, this is Civil War stuff. That's changed drastically.
Right. You're going to get to the point where your software and your infrastructure is automatically upgraded while you're using it in real time. You're not going to know that it's upgraded. You're going to see machine intelligence learning, right? They're going to learn the patterns. They're going to know, you know, already we know who you are, where you've been, and what you've tracked, right? All that's out there. We're going to see more and more of that information coming through relevance. So we're going to learn a lot of different patterns about different people. And I think you're probably going to have to buy your own identity back at some point.
And that is the bad news of some of these attacks. And I think going to market, go-to-market strategy, pressure, maybe companies out there aren't going to be as interested in security. And I think maybe there may be federal agencies that are push, got to move to the cloud, push, open data, open them, that they may leave themselves open to getting attacked. And who wants to say that? But I think someone's going to get beat up real bad here, and it's not going to be pretty.
No, we've seen a few of them already, right? Some really big ones. You know, I was part of the latest breach. She went out the website and looked at it and said I was one of the 145 million Americans that were out there, right? It's just a fact of life that we live in. I think what we're going to start to see, though, is we do IT to IT for IT today. I think you're going to see more of the business and mission drivers really, you know, IT built into the mission in the future. I really do see that today. Today we offer it as a service. Tomorrow I think we're going to offer it as an application.
That's incredible. Bouncing back to your Twitter feed, hashtag open source, and you start talking about Red Hat, which is just, it's amazing. And there's a quote from the Twitter feed this morning. It says, Open source is driving compliance automation. There's the automation word again. So automation, you can help people automate their systems so they're secure, and you can help automate system for compliance. Now, that's what my govies want to know. How can we automate some of these compliance challenges they have?
Right. And that's a big one across the board for people, right? It goes back into, I've got to do my audits all the time. How do I know I'm ready? How do I have that work, the software working for me in the middle of the night when I'm not there? And making sure everything's orchestrated, right? It comes back to performance and monitoring. How am I monitoring my infrastructure? How do I take that monitoring with me regardless of where I go? How do I know what the false positives? How do I get those out of the system and know what's really, truly important to me?
Setting priorities for the future is hard, and I think setting budgets are hard too. If traditionally you would go to the store and buy a box of software and put it on your system, and then moving to the cloud means different types of services, metered services. The challenge could be with what, you know, Representative Will Hurd talked about last week was an acquisition of these. Okay, let's say we automate the compliance. Okay, let's say we automate the security. Great. And the challenge is in the federal government and these strange budget constraints that they don't have or have and no CIOs. What about the acquisition for this? That has to be part of the puzzle here.
Yeah, it definitely. The way we do budgets in the government is kind of at odds with where we're going to go in the future. I do see a lot of reform going on right now, though. There's a lot of organizations and agencies that realize that we've got to change. You know, the world's changed. You take a look back at first analogy with, you know, Uber and transportation. The same thing's going to happen with agencies that don't move, right? We're going to have the same thing. People will not be relevant. Back to the earlier discussion, if 75% of the business are not on the S&P 500, you know, in 10 years from now, you see the change. You either move or you get left behind.
I'm in the classroom all the time, and students make these wild statements, and I say, give me a for instance, and that usually doesn't go off well. But if I say, in order to be terrific, you got to be specific, and I say, give me a specific example of that. And so I got to ask you, so give me an example maybe of an organization, an agency perhaps, don't have to name them, you can say a agency mm-hmm. where BMC has walked in, and maybe it's where they've found they had work in the backup server. Give me an example of maybe where you've applied some of these tools to my listeners to help them out.
Yeah, so we've got one and a judicial customer, okay, that really didn't want to be the next OPM. Okay.
We're not going to say who, but who does.
Exactly. And so when that one came up, they said, hey, your security operations, really want to know more about that, right? I want to make sure I got a great security posture and operationalize it so I know exactly where I'm at today. Where do I need to get to? What does good look like? How do I get from good to great, right? And how do I lock down my infrastructure? And then how do I get to the point where I know the vulnerabilities are coming in? I've got a proactive strategy that I can go in and says, this is the most important thing to do. And then how do I automatically patch my organization? Now, from a small pilot, it's turned into a major undertaking for the agency, though. But now they feel very, very secure, right? They can see what's going on. They have a solution, and they've got a proactive path. And it starts to get to the point where I no longer have to guess. I can take the guesswork out of it. I can let my infrastructure talk to me and tell me what's happening. What should I be doing? What things do I, you know, what's going to keep me up at night and what's going to take me down?
So when it comes to future environments, you know, I don't think in 10 years from now, I'll do some prediction. In 10 years from now, are we going to talk about we're in the cloud, we're not in the cloud, we're behind the premises? No, it's not. That's not going to be a debate. It's going to be like the old box of software. Don't even worry about the box of software. That's not even the issue. The issue is it secure? And that security may change. It may change depending on environment and requirements. I mean, if you look at where the Google Cloud is, it's all over the world. And so those servers may change depending on the requirements as far as latency goes too. So it's tough to predict, but I guess I'm optimistic. And I think more and more people can look at the OPM and go, I don't want that, and be proactive and try to change things. And maybe that's why the OPM actually got the publicity to help everyone else and change.
Yeah. And I think what you're going to see is work's going to follow you in the future. I worked for a fabulous CEO in the past, and he called a couple of different trends. And one of those trends that he called was there'll be a paperless airplane ticket 7 years before it happened, right? Huh. So you see those trends
That's a good call.
Coming through, right? Voice over the internet, voice will be free, right? So a couple of trends that have called over time that have come through. And one of the latest ones was work will follow you in the future. And I do think that's going to be the case. You're starting to see more teleworking. You see people on a global basis, right? You will find the expertise through a connected internet of things, Work will come to you in the future. You won't have to come to work, which I think will be a very, very interesting concept for the future.
In doing research for this interview, I took down some notes about BMC. 10,000 customers, that's a couple of customers. 82% of the Fortune 500, well, that's 82% of the Fortune. Someone's seen some value in this. And so what lessons from the commercial world can you apply to my listeners, my govies?
Yeah, the most interesting one for us, and it's what our team gets up and does every day, is focus on value engineering, which is what are the value you're going to get at the end of the day, right? I don't want to sell software to sell software. I want to have an outcome and a value proposition at the end of the day, right? Which is, how do I drive your mission forward? How do I make a difference? Whether it's taking people out of the equation so I can redeploy my workforce someplace else. It's how do I get time to market? How do I get a customer-facing application out to my customers and my constituents on a timely fashion, right? How can I be relevant to them? How do I reach out and get information so that in the government I'm looking just as good as I am in the commercial market, right? How do I get those things and how do I secure them and get them out to market quick?
That's interesting. Well, Kevin, we're running out of time here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Kevin Orr, Vice President at BMC Software.